Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands Podcast, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiseled and is proudly part of Chairshot Media Group. I am Mags, and Paul has broke his streak of 8 episodes without ditching. So, yeah, unfortunately, he's ditched today and left me with an amazing guest to deal with on my own, which is absolutely brilliant for me because she's one of my favourite people on Wrestling Twitch. She's part of our mini click called #The7. Yeah, she's an absolute gem. Today I'm speaking with Melissa. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good. I'm also not a gem. I'm basically like a small pointy rock in the bottom of her shoe that just annoys you and reminds you that she's still here.
Absolutely not true. So, Melissa, because you've been on the show before, we can't get your Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers of all time because you've already picked them. So because we're doing an NXT kind of centric episode, I thought it'd be a good idea if we both had 4 picks of who are the Mount Rushmore of the current NXT women's roster. It's arguably the best women's roster in WWE right now. So but we'd come up with a couple of Mount Rushmores between us. So who have you got on your Mount Rushmore, the best NXT women's current wrestlers?
Oh, no. Hold on, Max. My sir, you're coming in now. What was the question? Sorry, you went here a second.
Brilliant. So, yeah, because we're doing an NXT kind of centric episode, I thought we'd open with a Mount Rushmore of the current NXT women's roster. So who are the 4 best women's roster currently on NXT?
Oh, good. It's wild because I literally sat here and I looked. I looked up the entire women's roster just so I could, like, visually have eyes on people. And it was a male roster list and a female roster list. And can I just say, before we start, the female roster is literally a quarter of the size of the male NXT roster.
Yeah, it's madness.
And there are still names on the NXT roster as of 5 September that I'm very disappointed in. But that being said,
this is going to be controversial, I can tell.
I will not go into my opinions on Austin Theory and Velveteen Dream unless you ask. Instead, I will just give you you said four women, right?
Yeah, that's generally a Mount Rushmore.
Oh no, I have to remove somebody. Oh no.
I mean, you can have five. You can have an honorable mention one.
Okay. So you want them all at once or just one at a time?
Yeah, just go through them and a little bit of reason why each one.
Okay. So I have like the first wrestler I thought of, honestly, was Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm. She's our man.
And that's just like, and I'll have to say, like, when Baszler was still in NXT, I didn't really, like, notice Ripley at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, she's, like, there's the attractive alternative blonde wrestler, but like I didn't like watch her at all because it was always Shayna Baszler. But since Baszler left, Rhea has really been like allowed to like stretch her legs and show her skill, and I've been really impressed with everything I've seen of hers. And then I have Candice LeRae as well, because like while I'm not super like her gimmick doesn't impress me and it's not really memorable, Candice has mentioned just because like she's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if Candice LeRae is going to be on my TV, I know what kind of match I'm going to get. I know that there's not going to really be any insane botches. There's not going to be any danger to another wrestler. I just know she's going to put on a really good technical match, and I'm not going to be upset about whatever she's put on. So yeah, I feel like Candice LeRae definitely belonged on that list. And then Io Shirai, obviously. You can't not have Io on this list.
Very, very true.
And she's an all-around good wrestler. Her energy is super amazing. And then her wrestling skills, again, I have no complaints about them. I think I've maybe seen one of her botch maybe like once. So
yeah,
she's super consistent.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's a case to say that she's arguably the best female wrestler in the world today.
Yeah, I could definitely see her being, well, I don't think she's like the best. I definitely have her up there in high esteem across mm-hmm. like all of the women wrestlers that I am familiar with. I would definitely love to see her like oh god, now I can't remember her name. There's a wrestler in AEW that I really want to see her wrestle.
Hikaru Shida.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to see that. I want to see a match between them.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometime. I just want to see them just be able to have a match, do what they want without like brands or anyone telling them what they can or can't do. I just want to see them put a match together between the two of them and just show us what they want to do to each other. And I think it'd be like probably one of the best matches. Women's wrestling.
Literally just balls to the wall.
Yeah, just throw them in a ring and say, have fun, bye.
And who is your last pick? And then obviously you've got an honorable mention who you're tying over. So who are your last two then?
I really am impressed with Mia Yim.
Interesting.
So I saw a lot of Mia Yim on the indie side of the house. And watching her go from indie into NXT, I'm impressed with watching her growth, and I'm excited for what she can do, not necessarily in NXT, but what she can do in the future, wherever her future may take her. So I don't see Mia Yim making a lifetime career out of WWE. Okay. I see her getting what she needs out of WWE and leaving and going back independent. But I'm really excited for the kind of growth she'll get while she's here. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good growing place for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And who was the one who just didn't make the cut?
Shotzi.
Ah, she's just so adorable.
I love Shotzi. So again, she's another one that I have a lot of experience with on the independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to hug her.
Yeah, she did a couple of videos about a helmet going missing because it got stolen from the back of a car. And yeah, I just when they recovered the car and the helmet was still there and she was welling up, you could tell it means so damn much to her. Yeah, it's such a... just an innocent wrestling soul.
And I think that's the thing that makes me really support Shotzi is that, like, she loves this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a job. This isn't...
It's a passion. It's a passion.
Exactly. Like, Candice, like, this is a job that she does very, very well. This is her husband's passion and her job. But Shotzi, this is her passion. This is only thing she thinks, lives, and breathes about. This is, if you cut her open, little championship title belts are going to fall out of her vein. Like, she lives for this. And I think that passion is going to either get her into a long, amazing career, or she's going to go too hard too fast and end it early. And I really hope it's not the latter, but I'm also realistic that people that love wrestling will do dumb things in the beginning of their career.
Yeah. And in some cases in the later stages of the career as well.
Hardy boys. What?
Matt Sydal.
Who's
Poor guy.
Or Ciampa. Or Ciampa.
Yeah. Especially with a neck as broken as he is.
Yeah, Ciampa is basically held together by gum and duct tape, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Let's go."
It's a great list and a lot of similarity to mine, so I'll just quickly run through mine. I had Rhea Ripley like you did. I think if remembering her from the Mae Young Classic, where she was the kind of ultimate blonde baby face, to the character change that she got when she went to NXT UK, brought that back to NXT. I think she's brilliant. I really, really do. I think, and the fact that she's only 23 years old and she's got so much more learning to do, it's she's made a brilliant start on her career. And she seems to me like the kind of wrestler that will be a WWE laugher. Like, she'll be there. She wrestles that WWE style.
I could see that. I could definitely see Rhea being, like, I don't want to say, like, the next Lita, because Rhea is Rhea. Lita is Lita. Mm-hmm. But I could see her being a Lita in WWE.
Yeah. So then next I've got another one who you had, Mia Yim. And I didn't see a lot of her independent work. I know she's had a very extensive independent career, but I saw in TNA's Jade, felt that she was very underutilized there. And I think her style really fits in with the kind of ethos of NXT, the attitude, the kind of headbanging in charge look that she's got. Whether that'll translate over to main roster, I don't know. It's rumoured that she's going to be part of Retribution anyway. But yeah, I agree with what you said about maybe she will use WWE as a kind of a way to get what she needs out of it, get a name behind herself, and then go back on the indies where she may be more fulfilled as a wrestler.
God, I hope she doesn't. I feel like Mia Yim on the main roster is just, it's begging to get her buried, and it makes me really sad to think about.
Yeah, I mean, she's really, really close to Keith Lee, so maybe it's because Keith's left NXT that she's left NXT. But we'll see. We'll see what the future holds for her. I also went with Io Shirai. Like I said, I think there's an argument to say that she's probably the best female wrestler in the world today. And like you said, she's misses consistency. She always puts on amazing matches. Her character work is superb. She's amazing to watch. So I had Io Shirai on mine. And then my last one, my surprise one, is Dakota Kai. For someone who's been in,
you know, I had Kai on my list and I had Knox on my list and I crossed them off.
Oh, controversial straight away. For me, the reason why she stands out now is because she was so long the ultimate babyface, like team kick, timid when it comes to facing the heels. If you remember, she had that storyline with Shayna Baszler where she was absolutely terrified of her. But then the heel turn, kind of the slow burn of the heel turn, especially building up to the War Games match where you could sense that she was getting angry because she was being overlooked. And I think this heel turn has done her the world of good. It's really added an extra dimension to her character. Teaming up with Raquel Gonzalez is absolutely chef's kiss. She uses that kind of that size of Raquel perfectly. So I've gone with Dakota Kai for my last pick.
You know, it's funny is that, like, I know it's, like, supposed to be, quote-unquote, a heel turn for... Oh, goodness. Are you not happy with what I'm about to say? So I know, like, it's supposed to be like a quote-unquote heel turn for her, but like I don't see it as a heel turn. Like, I see it, like, I know, like, she's, you know, it's a heel thing, but like she just seems strong. Like, she doesn't seem like bad, evil. Like, she just seems strong, and I'm like, I love this. I live for this. I'm good with it.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And I think a lot of the times the best heel turns are when the heels think they're doing good. They think that she's
doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, I won't go as far as that in terms of wrestling, but in the case of Dakota, she feels like she's been overlooked, and this is her kind of grabbing that brass ring. If it means trampling over people, so be it. That kind of like mentality where she's sick of being trodden over.
I think it also mirrored, I think that the reason why people really like her, where her story is right now. It's just mirroring how a lot of fans feel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us feel the women's division is just overlooked and underappreciated. And so it's just to see a wrestler with that same storyline, we're all just yes, as a matter of fact, we agree with you. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And I think there we've got very similar Mount Rushmore's, but with slightly different reasoning behind them. But let's go on to this main topic. I actually didn't give you much of an option, but we went with the best NXT call-ups. Now, historically with NXT, people get worried when a call-up happens because that wrestler is going to get buried on main roster, and 99% of the time it does. But there have been some call-ups who have been able to flourish on main roster. So I thought we'd go over some of the wrestlers. There's a bit of that positivity in the wrestling world. I thought we'd go over some of the wrestlers who have done really well since they've been called up to the main roster. So let's hear your first pick, Melissa.
Okay, now before I give you this pick, I have to ask, am I allowed to pick him even though he went back to NXT?
If they've shown up on main roster for at least one episode, then they count.
Okay. Finn Balor, honestly.
No, you did not telegraph that in any way because I didn't really know you were going for Finn Balor.
There's something about Finn Balor, when he's on main roster and then go, when he was on NXT, he was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Back up to the main roster, he was outstanding, between just Finn Balor as a person, but his wrestling as Finn Balor and his wrestling as the Demon are and always have been just absolutely amazing. And I could literally spend an entire episode about Finn Balor and his positivity, even within his own gimmick, and his consistency. His surprising athleticism for a body guy, because he is really muscular, but he can still fly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, his whole gimmick with the Demon and the, invincibility of that side of his gimmick. He is and always will be one of my all-time NXT call-ups. I don't care if he went back to NXT. I said what I said.
No, it's a great pick. I didn't go for him for man, but he was definitely on the short list. I've loved him since seeing him in New Japan. Was kind of apprehensive when he came to WWE. Obviously, he absolutely killed it in NXT. And when he first came up to the main roster, he was absolutely brilliant. The first Universal Champion. And I just think the amount of injuries that he picked up and the fact that Vince sours on wrestlers as much as he changes his underpants. I think that's what kind of held him back a little bit. And you can see in the return that he's done to NXT how much he loves being there. Again, it's like he's had a breath of fresh air coming back to NXT. The creative freedom that he has there. Yeah, it's a great pick. It really is a great pick.
If I pick Heavy Machinery, do I have to do it separately or can I just do it as a tag team?
Well, let me get through my first one and we'll go through that. Go for yours next. I'm tired on who I should actually pick first. Normally we'd have two horse and Paul will pick and I'll be able to veto, but obviously I'm going to be using all my picks. So I'm going to go with probably my favourite NXT caller, Seth Rollins.
I always forget he was an NXT starter.
Yeah, it was in there pretty much from the time it was rebranded from FCW into the beginning of NXT. He by the time it actually rebranded, he'd been there like a couple of years. Won all the FCW titles there was to win. He debuted actually on the second episode of NXT. I think he beat someone called Jiro or Jaro. Couldn't even remember the match, to be fair. And then he won the first ever NXT title, beating Jinder Mahal in the final of the Gold Rush tournament. Had a 133-day reign, beat the likes of Michael McGillicutty, rematch against Jinder, and then he lost a DQ to Corey Graves before he dropped to Big E. But just before the title dropped to Big E, he actually made his debut on the main roster as part of the Shield with his fellow Hounds of Justice, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. That was at 2012 Survivor Series where they helped Punk to retain the WWE title. You know, I think he was in a triple threat against Cena and Ryback. They powerbombed Ryback through the table. When the trio did come to the WWE full-time, they absolutely run roughshod. They won multiple titles before the obviously inevitable breakup when Rollins turned his back on his boys to join the Authority. Entered the Money in the Bank, which he would win, and cash in at Mania 31. The first person to ever cash in at a Mania, and during a title match, he would walk out of Mania as the champion. And up to this day, he's pretty much one of the top stars in the company. He's in the conversation for one of the best wrestlers in the world. His Twitter game is horrific, but his wrestling is faultless.
It's wild to me how you have such a photographic memory about just wrestlers' biographies. Can I borrow your memory for like my veterinary medical course? Can I just borrow it for all this medical terminology I have to do? Please.
You could try. Just to finish off, when I was actually kind of researching the picks, looking at the accolades that this guy has got in his relatively short time with the company, he's been NXT champion, he's won the Rumble, he's Money in the Bank winner, he's a Triple Crown winner, he's a Grand Slam winner, he's won 9 Slammy Awards, he's been a tag team champion 6 times, US champion, Intercontinental champion twice, Universal champion twice, World Heavyweight champion twice. So yeah, I'm going to go with Seth Rollins. I think he's been absolutely outstanding since he got called up.
I mean, yeah, I can definitely like support that. Like, it's as you sat here, you detailed it. Because remember, I stopped watching WWE in like 2008, and I restarted in 2017. So like a lot of Seth Rollins, like repertoire, I was never privy to because I only ever saw him in the Shield.
Yeah.
So. Hearing all of that, like, yeah, definitely. He's definitely up there.
So let's go back to you for your second pick. I assume it's going to be Otis.
You know I love Otis.
he's an international treasure.
there's something like Otis is one of the, like, just having Machine Gear in general. Like, you know, because we both know how much Vince McMahon hates fat wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
He hates him. He doesn't like him. He doesn't hire him. If he does hire him, he makes him look like a fool.
Yeah, he definitely stereotypes him.
And I'm not saying that that's not what he did with Otis. Because Otis is still very much the dumb, fat, funny guy who chases after the hot girl.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also who he is. And I think that that's a huge difference in making somebody that guy and having that guy be a wrestler. And I think this is what it is. It's that Heavy Machinery is just that pair of friends. They are acting as they naturally do, and it's good representation. And their wrestling is solid. Like, it's not even just their gimmick is good. Like, their wrestling is solid. Like, Otis is agile.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a very sprightly man for his size.
For a guy of his heart and his size, for him to be able to do the worm is brilliant.
yeah, it's just, I don't know. They're probably my favorite tag team that I've seen pulled up from NXT. And it's unfortunate that, like, aside from the New Day, there's really, like, and it's terrible for me to sit here and say, but, like, other than the New Day, like, and Heavy Machinery, I don't really even, like, pay attention to any of the other tag teams.
Yeah. WWE's tag team division.
None of them are very memorable.
Yeah, well, the Usos, so, I suppose.
When's the last time they wrestled?
Well, one of them's challenging his cousin Roman Reigns for the title soon.
Well, one of them.
I mean, they are forever injured.
it's either they're injured or they have a DUI. One of the two.
Very, very true. And I love the pick of Otis and Heavy Machinery. He's not someone who I actually really consider because they're still so kind of new into their main roster run. But yeah, I think Otis is kind of a throwback to when wrestling was a more innocent, simpler time. If you understand what I mean, we have like all these stories and we know so much about wrestlers, like how they are in real life, and they're not always the nicest people. Otis comes across as the sweetest person in the whole of wrestling.
He is. He literally is just like a big old, he's like a big old like English Mastiff. Like, he's just big and happy and kind of silly.
Yeah.
But goodness, do we love him.
Yeah, he's like an everyman. He's literally someone living his dream, being able to wrestle, being a normal human being, but able to get like the super hot girl is what every normal bloke wants to be.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I will say that I was annoyed that they did that storyline with Mandy. I still appreciated it from like a cute storybook level.
Well, depending on if we get the ending that we hope to get now that they've been split, and will he have to lose his money in the bank to win her back, kind of thing. We'll see. But yeah. It's been the cutest love story in wrestling for so long.
We needed it. We needed something wholesome.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go for my second pick. I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss, I think. So
that's fair.
Yeah. I really wanted to kind of stay away from the four horsewomen because we could have easily just put all four of them on because main roster, they've been outstanding. And I specifically stopped myself from picking them because they would have just dominated the list. So putting on one of the female talents, I felt that Alexa has done the best outside of those four women since coming up to main roster. And in NXT, she was pretty much a babyface for a lot of the time. She made her in-ring debut almost a year after she'd actually signed. She'd done like little spots where she came out to congratulate Paige on winning the first women's title. Then she did a little bit of a ring announcing, and I think she was also in Triple H's entrance at Mania 30. But she her in-ring debut came when she entered the tournament to crown a women's champion after Paige vacated because she got called up to the main roster and won the Divas title. I think it was in the first match on the main roster, and she was made to basically vacate the title. Obviously, Alexa didn't win, and she didn't win any gold in her time in NXT. She ended up being more of a kind of a valet for the likes of Blake and Murphy, helping them to defend the NXT titles against Enzo and Cass and the Board Villains. But this was good for Alexa because it was when she first got to show that heel side of her, which is the biggest part of her character now that she's on the main roster. She eventually got drafted to SmackDown 3 years after being in NXT and was pushed instantly to the top of the division. She beat Becky in her first main roster match. She would then pick up the title when she beat Becky at TLC. She was, the second ever women's SmackDown champion. Throughout her main roster career, she's kind of been an expert at bewitching people, getting like other female talent to befriend her and kind of protect her. You've seen the likes of Mickie James, Nia Jax, Nikki Cross, and even now the likes of Braun Strowman and The Fiend all kind of being drawn in by this ability of Alexa to play the cowardly friend slash heel before revealing she's the natural bitch character that she plays so well. Then again, looking at the titles that she's won, she's another triple crown winner. She's won pretty much every women's title that there is to win in WWE. Money in the Bank winner, 2 times women's tag champion, 2 times SmackDown women's champion, and 3-time women's Raw champion. So yeah, go with Alexa Bliss for my second pick.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that.
You don't sound enthused.
I've never been impressed with Alexa Bliss. Do you have an opinion on Alexa Bliss too? She's a good worker, and she's been integral. she's been integral to so many amazing storylines. And I appreciate her as like a really good foundational stone for a lot of things in WWE. It may also just be because I've only seen Alexa Bliss for the last 3 years. But I don't know, Alexa Bliss is just not someone, when I thought about like great NXT call-ups, I just didn't think about her.
Yeah, like I said, her NXT career was nothing to write home about. It's the change that she had once she got onto main roster, how she's obviously going to be a very Vince-style wrestler, almost platinum blonde hair. She's decent enough in the ring. She can pull off some good moves, but it's the character work that's really stood out for me, I think.
I can appreciate the, when they were doing the intergender tag team tournament thing.
Yeah.
Her and Braun were amazing. Mm-hmm. I will give her that credit. She and Braun during that entire thing was great, and her support of Nikki Cross is also really freaking good. When thinking of Alexa Bliss, I think of her in the aspect of like her and Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I get that. So let's go back to you for your third pick.
See, I'm torn because my heart is saying Nikki Cross, but the other side of my heart is saying Naomi.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think I'm torn because Nikki, so I have a soft spot for Nikki and Aleister, because they're, you know, alternative gothic, you know. They're not the standard that WWE picks.
Yeah, they're definitely not typecast, that's for sure.
No, not at all. And I like to think that like Vince looks at them and is like, these damn kids. But Naomi is amazing.
She is.
I'm gonna have to go with Naomi because Naomi has consistently put forth the few times that they use her, because they don't use her enough. And actually, she actually went back down to NXT. Was it last year? Because they weren't using her. And she was like, hey, can I just go like play at NXT since y'all ain't using me? And they said, yeah, sure, whatever, I don't care. She was at NXT for like for a little bit of last year.
And she wants to go back. But, like, she said she wants to go back again.
Yeah. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her for wanting to pull a Finn Balor, honestly. But like she, like, first of all, let's just go from top to bottom. Her gimmick, her gear, her boots, the lights, her makeup, the presentation just by itself will translate well for years, for mm-hmm. decades. And it's fun. It brings that kind of happiness that, like, if you're older, you remember your party days. If you're younger, you remember your party yesterday. And it's just, her packaging is just so amazing. And not to mention, like, for a Black woman to be out there with natural hair, just having fun and just enjoying herself on a almost entirely white platform where almost every female wrestler is white and blonde. It's amazing to see her thrive as much as she can in the circumstances of which they are setting her up for.
Yep.
And I
totally agree with you.
And then her wrestling is flawless. It's fucking flawless.
Yep, I agree.
every mess up I've seen her commit has always been because of somebody else.
And don't forget the fact that she's kind of everything that Kofi does in a Royal Rumble, she's one-upping him.
Yeah, oh my God. It's the funniest thing to watch, because I didn't realize it until Omar pointed it out, that she'll one-up Kofi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the funniest thing once you realize it's happening. If y'all, anyone listening, if you didn't realize this happened, just go back and just watch those two in the Royal Rumble matches and just watch it. It will entertain you so much. It's kind of like what Ricochet and Casey Catanzaro do. Yeah. Like, they one-up each other all the time, too. Or try to. But no, like, it's just, her wrestling is flawless. Her packaging is flawless. And her Twitter game is strong.
And I think what stands out more for me is how good of a role model she is for someone who kind of, even when she's like not getting the recognition that she deserves from the company, she still grinds. She's still like hardworking. She's a brilliant person.
Yeah, because like we had mentioned, like, she wasn't being used last year, and she was like, "Can I go play with NXT?" And they were like, "Yeah, I don't want to carry you. Go away." And so she was still working on herself, regardless of the fact that they didn't want to work on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that, like, and not to like bring up her personal life, but like she's married to one of the Usos, and he's a hot mess.
He certainly is.
And she still comes out, and she brings it out, and she works it. You would have never guessed that her husband was the dumbass that got a DUI.
Multiple DUIs.
Multiple DUIs. It's like being married to a Hardy boy. It's just rough.
It's a great pick. Not again, someone who I didn't even really think about. But yeah, I adore Naomi. I think she's superb, and she's going to be she should be way more recognized than she is. But for Martha,
I know that when she came out, I can't remember when it was that she came out. I think it was a Royal Rumble, maybe. She came out with that afro,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was trending worldwide, not just wrestling Twitter, but like all of the Black community saw that clip of her in her afro, natural hair, and neons, enjoying the hell out of herself, and the entire world recognized what was on that screen. They were like, this is a Black woman embracing herself and enjoying her job. And so she, like, she made a global impact, mm-hmm. on people that didn't even watch wrestling. And that's noteworthy.
Absolutely. It's a standout pick. So for my third pick, I'm going to go with Kevin Owens. Someone who I think will appeal to you because of his very indie-centric background. He had a 14 years before he actually got to WWE. He had great runs in Ring of Honor and PWG. But he eventually made his way into the WWE system, debuting at TakeOver R Evolution, where he beat Juice Robinson, who was known then as CJ Parker. And if you remember at that same event, Sami Zayn, his best friend, his legitimate best friend, won the NXT title, and Owens came out to congratulate him. But living up to the kind of gimmick that he entered the company with, the fight anyone gimmick, where he said he'd even have to fight his friends if he had to, he powerbombed the new champion into the ring apron. Sami and Kevin would face off at, I think it was TakeOver Rival, where Owens beat Sami just 2 months into his NXT career to win the title. And he was definitely what you would call a fighting champion. He had a 143-day reign, and in that time he defended against Sami, he defended against Finn Balor, Zack Ryder, Neville, and Heath Slater. He eventually dropped the title at Beast in the East, which was in Tokyo, to Finn Balor. But before he lost that title, he kind of shocked the wrestling world when he answered John Cena's open challenge for the US title. But instead of having a normal match, Owens just attacked Cena and caused a lot of controversy when he stomped on the US title. This led to a match between the two at Elimination Chamber. It was a non-title match, but Owens won clean, and a win over Cena back then was a huge, huge deal, and it was a real statement. Owens's first main roster title came when he beat Ryback at Night of Champions in September of 2015, where he won the Intercontinental title. He ended up losing that to Dean Ambrose before beating him again in February the next year to pick it back up. And by the end of August of 2016, so really quickly in his main roster run, he ended up being the Universal Champion, the second ever Universal Champion, when Finn Balor, we mentioned earlier, he had to vacate due to injury. He won a fatal four-way match between, I think it was Cass, Roman and Seth to win that title, and then he had one of the best friendships in recent wrestling memory when him and Chris Jericho buddied up, had the festival of friendship where he presented Jericho with the list of KO before he attacked him. This led to Fastlane, where he lost the title to Goldberg after Jericho got involved. I think it was only 22 seconds that he lost, and Owens went into a feud with Jericho for the US title, and that would go to WrestleMania 33, where he'd get his first reign with that belt. Unfortunately, that was hot-shotted quite a lot over the next couple of months. I think he had three separate reigns over 3 months, where it was 28 days, I think 66 days, and then 2 days. So he's not been given a lot of time with WWE Gold, but he's certainly been like a huge star. And going into like the last couple of years of his career that he's had at WWE, he's had big feuds with Kofi and the New Day, obviously the Seth Rollins one, which culminated at WrestleMania this year, Braun Strowman, and then obviously that amazing and definitely not elongated battle with Shane McMahon. But yeah, my third pick is Kevin Owens.
I can definitely respect that. Kevin Owens, the thing about Kevin Owens is that like he may not have like worn the belt, but his sweat is in that belt.
Mm-hmm.
He has definitely assisted in elevating everything he's touched. And he has put in the work. He has done a lot of dumb things for the storyline. Listen, his entire thing with Shane McMahon was the dumbest yeah. thing.
But he made it work.
Was it not entertaining?
Yeah, he made it work. And then, if you remember, he came back down to NXT for the War Games match, and what a pop he got.
I think Kevin Owens is... If Kevin Owens could do nothing the next 3 years, and people would still love him.
Yeah.
He could just do nothing. He could pull an Alexa Bliss and just he could co-host with the Miz, and not a single soul would be mad. They'd be like, "Yep, this is Kevin Owens, and we are okay with it."
I agree. He's a definite long-term WWE star. If they can utilize him properly, I mean, he always seems to me like the kind of person who, if he's getting kind of bored or frustrated, he'll just disappear. He'll go somewhere else.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, pretty much. So let's round your Mount Rushmore off. Who would make your last pick of the best NXT call-ups?
I have to. Especially recently with his recent Twittering with one of my favorite indie female wrestlers. Big E Langston.
Yes.
Oh, God, Big E. My first introduction to Big E wasn't on when he's on NXT. My first introduction to Big E was when he was with AJ. Mm-hmm. It was AJ, and I think it was Ziggler?
Yep. He was the muscle. Right? He was the muscle.
So that was at the end of when I stopped watching wrestling. So right around the time I stopped watching wrestling was right around when Big E and was with AJ and Ziggler. And then imagine my surprise when I start watching wrestling again, and there is Big E Langston in a very colorful singlet throwing pancakes at people. I was so confused, and I had to look it up. So I was like, I know this man. What is this gimmick on my screen? And I had to look it up, and I had to make sure it was him. But Big E, like, just his growth. Again, I can't speak of his NXT career, so I'm not familiar with it. But like from his beginnings as like just like the silent muscle in the beginning of his career in WWE. To what he is now as a, first of all, an amazing technical wrestler, an amazing tag team wrestler, an amazing example. He's a positive guy, but his entire thing throughout WWE is, hey, I'm cool, I'm happy, I'm fun, but I can still break your kneecaps. And it's just like, it validates funny men that they're allowed to also be strong and funny at the same time. And then his Twitter game is just so good. And I think that I really hope that they do a good job with his singles run right now. I know he's in the middle of a singles run, and I hope he deserves it. He was a sidekick for Ziggler. Yes, he's not really a sidekick for New Day. He's obviously his own person, but he's always been shadowed by Kofi and Xavier, and I'm really excited to see what he does by himself. I am excited to see how they make it work. I hope that they make it work well, because I've always been impressed with Big E. He's incredibly nimble. I don't know how that man moves the way he does. It's impressive. It's like having like a bull jump hurdles. Like, I'm just impressed.
Yep, it's another great pick. I absolutely love Big E. People tend to forget that he was an Intercontinental Champion when he was in his first kind of his first gimmick in main roster, and then obviously he went sided with the New Day. They were kind of gospel activists almost, and when that went down like a fart in church, they transformed into this amazing kind of child-friendly gimmick, but with a kind of adult undercurrent.
There was a gospel gimmick that I missed.
Oh, honestly, go back and check it out. It absolutely stunk. But good on the guys. They could have like let that define their career and. But they didn't. They switched it up and they became the hottest thing in terms of merchandise. Certainly, they could sell snow to Eskimos. They're that talented.
They really could, and it's. I think the best part is that like they're child friendly, mm-hmm. until they're in a spot where they're not around kids.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you follow Big E on Twitter.
I do.
I don't know if you follow. Oh God, what's her name? Now I can't remember it. It is a black female wrestler here in the Carolinas. She was going to do the Gray Sweatpants Battle Royale.
Oh, I know you mean. I know you mean. It's going to annoy me now.
I'm looking it up.
She's
right
a great follower as well.
Okay, I found her. I'm just so dumb. It's Faye Jackson.
Faye Jackson, yeah.
I'm so tired. I know her name. I follow her. I've talked to her in person. I know who she is. I just forgot. But so she's not child friendly. Anyone who has children listening or is a child, no, a boy. But no, so Faye Jackson, hilarious adult themed wrestler, similar to Effie. And she and Big E on Twitter, because they interact with each other on Twitter. They are the funniest two to watch. Because like I'm sitting here looking at Big E, the colorful pancake growing child friendly wrestler, alluding to piping down Faye Jackson. And I'm just like, oh no, Big E, what are you doing? But it's great. He has so many different sides to him and his gimmick, and it's just so nice to watch him be able to utilize all of his sides and be a multifaceted person that he necessarily wasn't allowed to be when he was playing football, when he was in college, or when he was Ziggler's muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's just nice to see him online and in the ring just being this multifaceted, colorful person that everyone enjoys, whether you're a child, a teenager, an adult, clean-minded or not.
It is an outstanding pick and a great way to round out your Mount Rushmore. Again, another one who I didn't even kind of contemplate. I mean, I remember him being NXT champion, but yeah, I don't know why that went under the radar for me. My fourth pick, I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt, I think. Are you not happy with Bray Wyatt?
I can fully respect. I apologize for anyone listening for the child in the background playing. But I respect what Bray Wyatt has done for WWE and the work he's put in. I don't like him as a person, so I'll never like him as a wrestler. Okay. Let's continue.
But yeah, I'll just go through my spiel then. We'll draw a line under Bray Wyatt after that. So really, Bray Wyatt started in NXT whilst it was under its original format, you know, when it was a kind of almost like a game show. The competitors were paired with a pro and they got voted off every week. And Bray was then known as Husky Harris. He was paired with Cody Rhodes. But once that ended, he became part of the Nexus stable that kind of promised to shake up the wrestling world. But Super Cena did what Super Cena does and kind of trashed that gimmick. After that, he returned to developmental at FCW. And then when that was rebranded as NXT, he worked there. And during this kind of transition period, he went through a transition of his own. Into the cult leader Bray Wyatt rather than Husky Harris, a kind of like backwoods character who drew inspiration from Waylon Mercer and Max Cady from the movie Cape Fear. So Bray would kind of enchant people and add them to his faction. Guys like Luke Harper and Eric Rowan came in, and he would kind of be the manager, almost the leader of that group. And it would help them win the NXT titles. On actual NXT, he didn't do a lot of wrestling, to be fair. He was more like a character. But he would soon be promoted to the main roster, and he would attack Kane on his debut. And over the next month or so, they would attack other random wrestlers, sending messages to Kane, telling him to follow the Buzzards, really leaning into that kind of a Louisiana kind of swamp gimmick that we were trying to give off. And over the next few years, he would have like feuds with Daniel Bryan, who he had history with the Nexus and with NXT. Then he would have a feud with Randy Orton, which would lead to him winning the World Heavyweight title for the first time. Randy then won the Royal Rumble and promised to not face Bray, but he did, and he ended up taking the title off Bray, which led to also a House of Horrors match where Randy burnt down the Wyatt compound. So over the next few years, you would see the Wyatt feud with Jericho, Ambrose, Roman, Taker. They added Braun Strowman to the group for a little while until Braun was drafted to Raw, and Harper and Bray were drafted to SmackDown. Again, they would Bray would and eventually come into the character the Eater of Worlds, where he feuded with Seth and Matt Hardy, Matt who he eventually would team with to win tag team gold, and then he disappeared from our screen for a little while and then returned as two separate characters. One who was like a friendly, almost kind of children's TV presenter style, and then an evil masked fiend character. And he brought with him several puppets that represented both his kind of character work over the years and also several people in the wrestling business who had an effect on that character. So he would have feuds with Finn Balor, quite a few different WWE legends who he would attack. And he really kicked him with this fiend character when he had a feud with Seth Rollins, where he would eventually win the Universal title. Then he'd have the feud with Daniel Bryan. He'd eventually lost that title to Goldberg. Again, second time Goldberg's appeared in this list, and both times he's taken a title off a current wrestler. He then had that cinematic feud with John Cena, where they had, I don't even really want to call it a match. It was almost like a movie of Cena and Bray's kind of intertwined careers of wrestling. Then following WrestleMania this year, we've seen Bray and The Fiend revisit Braun Strowman, another former member of the Wyatt family, which led to a second title reign for The Fiend. But that was another short run because he eventually lost that title to Roman Reigns when Roman Reigns beat both The Fiend and Braun in a no-holds-barred match. Currently now, I mean, we're recording this in the middle of September, but the storyline going forward is that it's going to be Roman versus The Fiend. So it'll be interesting to see where The Fiend goes after this battle with WWE's biggest star. But yeah, my last pick is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray's gimmick, while original, and I'll admit, the Vince McMahon puppet is hilarious. there is a shelf life. This gimmick can't go on forever. And so I'm curious as to what they're going to do with Bray Wyatt long term. Because the gimmick right now is interesting. And the Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor match was incredibly interesting. And I appreciate the cinematic. Sorry, he just popped himself in the face. The walk through time with John Cena, I'll admit, was entertaining. But I can't help but wonder how much longer can they do with Bray Wyatt what they're doing? Because I just feel like there's a shelf life to his current gimmick. And I wonder how much longer can we play with Bray Wyatt and his gimmick until it becomes stale?
Yeah.
I wonder about that.
I understand that. I think the good thing is that Bray has so much freedom over it. You can tell that he doesn't have to run a lot of that by Vince. Vince has given him the kind of the impetus to go on and be the character that he wants to be. So he seems like he's got a very very like diverse, intelligent wrestling man. So I'm sure he's got like plans for how he's going to kind of like diversify this character. But yeah, I can understand what you mean. There can be only so many times that a character like The Fiend is attacking another wrestler, and there can only be so many like different reasons why he would attack that person.
Yeah, your puppets are only so spooky for so long.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've both come up with very different and very interesting Mount Rushmores, though.
Yeah. I feel like because you have such a long history with wrestling and mine is still so infantile compared to anybody you ever have on your shows, it's not an insult. It's the truth. I've only been watching wrestling now regularly for the last, 3 years, maybe? And even then, I'm only watching more WWE now because my independent boys are safe at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always interesting to see you with a long history in wrestling being able to pull out Alexa Bliss, who I've only ever known as WWE, versus me, who I all my reflexive NXT call-ups are Finn Balor, Aleister Black, Nikki Cross, people who have been pulled up in the last 2 or 3 years. Necessarily wouldn't think of because you have that longer history.
Yeah, but that to me is the whole point of this show. It's the fact that no answer is wrong. It's whatever appeals to you, and those are the NXT call-ups that made an impact on you. It doesn't make your picks any worse than mine. It's just a different point of view, and I think you bring a really interesting point of view, especially with your knowledge of independent wrestling and how you can apply that to what is essentially WWE's take on independent wrestling with NXT. So yeah, don't put yourself down. You're a very valued guest on this show.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't putting myself down. I just think it's interesting because, especially since you and I have different anthropologic backgrounds too. For anyone that doesn't know, Mags is an older gentleman, and I am a younger woman. So I obviously am impacted more. I don't say more, but I'm impacted differently from female wrestlers and representation, because I have biracial children, than necessarily downplay you, Mags. I'm not doing that, I want to be clear. But I hyper focus a lot on racial representation in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's something that's important to me, so it affects how I view wrestlers and WWE. So I also have that difference as well.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. That's you have taught me so much about the independent scene. I mean, about wrestlers who I would not normally have ever come across because I'm thousands of miles away across a giant ocean. Your input has been invaluable to me, kind of spreading my wrestling wings.
And you have made me appreciate Pete Dunne a little bit more.
if that's my epitaph, I'm happy with that.
No, you know better. You also giving me a really good wrestling history whenever we talk. Because you always bring up stuff from 1992, and I'm like, oh, or the New Day gospel gimmick that I would have never looked up.
Yeah, definitely go and look it up. It's interesting. I think it was only around for maybe a month.
I made tea. I hope you'll be proud. I made tea. Good English breakfast tea.
Oh, no wrong with a good cup of tea. I'm a coffee man normally, but I do like a good cup of tea. This has been amazing fun, Ms. Lisa. We don't talk enough nowadays, and it makes me sad.
That's because you have 12 podcasts.
I don't. I've discussed this ad nauseum recently. I don't have so many podcasts. I have 3 podcasts.
Why do I see your name on so many podcasts, Mags?
Because people keep saying to me, will you show up? And I go, yes, of course I will, because I'm just daft.
You're not. Stop it.
Well, Melissa, let the people who listen to this show know where they can find you, promote whatever it is that you want to promote. Yeah, just let us know where they can follow you on social media.
So my Twitter is thebitch_witch. That is where you'll find me, and that is where you'll find any links that I want to promote that I will not be promoting on Mag's podcast.
This is not a child friend. Well, children probably do listen to it, but it's not aimed at children. So if you want to promote anything, absolutely feel free.
Well, so I do have an OnlyFans. It is linked in my bio, but my OnlyFans is the Wrestle Witch. There's an option for you to pay to choose which wrestler's merch I wear in content. So that's an option for you wrestling fans.
Go and check Melissa out. Go and follow her. She definitely does not have enough followers. It's scandalous, the small amount of followers that she's got.
I just recently got past 666.
Wow, I bet you was devastated.
I was.
Yeah, I don't know how I've built up a following. I'm an idiot from the north of England, and Melissa is way more intelligent, way more interesting than me, so definitely go and give Melissa a follow. Follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. Follow Tolle when he decides to turn back up at Reencounter. Follow the show at Badlands Pod. Thank you all for listening. And remember, if you're formulating a Mount Rushmore, you always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.